Thank you.
Okay.
Be recorded.
You may go ahead with recording has started.
Thank you. All right. So how would people like to proceed? I sent some questions around that I certainly would like to get some responses on. Is it possible to just go through those, or does somebody have a different suggestion?
I think those are great. I'd like to add a couple. I'm a little bewildered by the various lists and conversation that's happened on the list that I'm on. So
why don't we start off with yours, Mike?
I just realized that there seem to be two documents. There's a PDP that's underway, and then there's another conversation about the 19 policy points, and I could use some filling in on which is which and which one we're working on, because I wrote a response from the BC for the 19 during the process that Ross led, and now bewildered by the PDP thing, and so I'm wondering whether there are two email lists about this or two processes underway.
There are two processes. I mean, a few issues were singled out and was decided to launch a PDP on those, and that's underway, and we're still waiting for quite a few constituency statements. But that's sort of narrow cast to only those four issues, which are then described in the issues report. For the remaining 19 issues, this is what we're doing today. I mean, a small group to consider, a suitable order of launches of future PDPs for these issues based on the prioritization that Ross, little prioritization group, prepared, and which is sort of essential background for this. So this, there are two processes, and what we're doing today on this call is actually to address the grouping together or proposing a running order of future potential PDPs.
Terrific. Thanks for clearing that up. At some point, I'll go back through Rodenbaugh and figure out whether we're properly participating in the PDP process, but I'll leave that off for today and we can concentrate on the 19th.
Mike, just to set you at ease in terms of your confusion on this, as far as I can tell, there's confusion across the council on this whole issue because of the common topic of both. Some of the constituency statements for the PDP that was initiated on the very limited four items with regard to transfer policy appear to be more related to the 19 items we're talking about than the four items in the PDP. The four items in the PDP just are four reasons that are allowable reasons for denying a transfer by a registrar that have had some ambiguity, and the idea was to see if those could be clarified, the ambiguity removed.
Okay.
And so we did, like Olaf said, we did initiate a PDP on that very limited set of transfer policy issues, and that's what constituency statements were asked to be submitted by each of the constituencies, including the BC. And the BC statement really, as far as I could tell, related to these 19 items that we haven't started a PDP of.
Yeah, well, and I wrote that, so I know that one real well. And you know, I think the confusion, at least for me, arose because I was participating in Ross's prioritization.
Yeah, right. And by the way, what you did is very useful. It's not directly related to the PDP that's underway, but is certainly directly related to what we're doing. And that's
great. Yeah, great. Thanks. I'm squared away.
Now, what other questions do you have?
One of the things that we talked about in the prioritization process, we had a pretty substantial email exchange about the way that that process worked. I was quite enchanted with that. And one of the things that Ross and I sort of agreed at the end was that I might get a mulligan on, or a do-over on one issue. The issue that I was really interested in was the number one issue, which was the possibility of a registrant somehow initiating a review of a transfer or a challenge to a transfer. And that one wound up sort of in the middle of the pack or towards the bottom of the pack because of the sort of mathematics that Ross used in arriving at his prioritization, in which he basically averaged the responses. But what was interesting about the ranking was that four people in the group ranked that very, very high, and four people ranked it very, very low. And so my point to Ross was, you know, you're, by averaging these, you're masking what is in fact a quite a healthy disagreement, and it might be useful to explore that disagreement as a group and see if we can change each other's minds or somehow move the needle. And I got quite carried away with sort of consensus-style decision-making because I spent a lot of time running companies actually using consensus decision-making processes. And I sort of lost that debate, didn't push it real hard, but would like to lobby for the possibility of perhaps reordering some of the sequence that we take these up. And I sort of view this call as a chance to do that, but I want to do it sort of out in the open and say, look, you know, the process that Ross ran, I think, was intended to come up with this order that we're talking about today on the call. And while I'd love to reopen it, I wouldn't want to do that without acknowledging the work that the group did before. So my question is, are we essentially reopening the sequencing question that the priorities group did?
I think the answer, and Tom and Olaf, you were involved in the group as well, and I wasn't, so please correct me, but I think the answer is yes and no on that. I don't think our task is to redo the prioritization exercise. We're really tasked with trying to come up with a proposed plan for tackling either some subset or all of the 19 items in terms of continued policy development. And so whereas we might not just redo the prioritization exercises, in the very act of making some suggestions like grouping the different recommendations for possible PDPs does, in fact, provide an opportunity to revisit the one you're talking about.
Well, yeah, especially since the prioritization group, I think, Olaf, chime in here because you were on that thread as well, but I think that when we were doing the prioritization, we were operating under the assumption that really all we were doing was establishing the order in which we would tackle things. That we weren't actually commenting on the substance of the points, simply the sequence in which we were going to pick
them up. And at least from my point of view, as being a council member, whereas the prioritization exercise provide some good a good starting point, it doesn't seem very feasible to open up 19 different PDPs and run them serially,
yeah,
or even in parallel.
Yeah.
And so we're trying to come up with a more feasible means of tackling some or all of the 19.
Well, I'm enchanted with this approach, and I mostly am doing this to sort of give due acknowledgement to the process that happened before, but I think it's absolutely the right approach.
Recalling then that this is, of course, a priority list, and then it was put forward like that, if I recall it right, from the working group, then as a proposal for the running order, and then, leaving the decision on exactly which one should we start PDP on, really to the council. And as Chuck mentioned, 19 PDPs, well, then we were starting the planning for almost our grandchildren.
Yes, I agree.
Chuck in my case, then. So, it's rather a matter of, well, one approach could, for example, so it's a selection of approach to start with. One could say that, all right, well, here we've got a running order, and let's heed the proposal, and let's say that, okay, we take the first three, and nothing more, for example. The first three issues, and that's what we concentrate on. Or we say, let's start with the first five. Or we say, let's start with number one and see if there is anything really ancillary to it, which we could launch at the same time, which could easily be combined with number one among those who are further down on the list. And maybe there are not even one, but two more, and so on, which can be grouped together. So actually, we're at liberty to propose, and of course, basing it on the prioritization and the work that already has been done in that respect.
One of the threads on the email list that I'm subscribed to, and I have a feeling I need to get subscribed to the other one, was this notion of clumping or grouping, and I think that that's a good idea because a lot of the 19 are groupable.
We've already done that, haven't we?
Yeah.
Or at least we had a first shot at it.
Yeah.
So if we carry on with the thoughts you had, is we should determine whether some of these issues in these groups should be maybe grouped in a fourth group, which is not described as just others, but as issues that should be evaluated whether they're feasible or not.
Yeah, and Tom, you're getting at what Tom obviously provided one possible grouping of these, which
yeah.
I think was a good start, and Olaf has mentioned that there was a not totally dissimilar grouping by Ross in a previous document.
Yeah.
But what I did is I looked at each one individually in terms of, okay, is this really feasible? Because in my opinion, unless there's some indication that something is really achievable, we don't have resources to just do PDPs for PDP's sake if there's not reasonable chances that some good progress could be made. And that's kind of the gist of a lot of the questions I ask, even going a little bit further and thinking about ideas that could be done because that relates to feasibility. So I took kind of a different tactic there, going down the feasibility route.
So the big question is now what are we actually going to do? I mean, we have to stick with something. Mm-hmm. I guess the list we have from all of that stems from the time before the prioritization group has worked it out. I think that's one way of grouping it, but since we already gone through that effort of having this prioritization, I would rather use that one and try in some way to keep the order, because prioritization group kind of showed that it's really hard to come to common conclusions. I mean, there were just really opposing views on that, and so we came up with something. We might not be happy with it. I'm not happy with it personally, but I would think that we should stick to it, and it was an official exercise, and we got a result, and now kind of making everything up anew doesn't really sound right to me. So the process of just taking the first one, as one would describe, the first one, and seeing what could be included with that one is the approach I followed. And what I would think we should do is maybe have a look at that kind of grouping and see whether we can already apply certain feasibility problems to certain subjects or not.
I'm comfortable with starting out that way.
So am I.
All right. So that would be, so you all have the document, so we probably could start on going through the points, discussing the feasibility. And what I would suggest is that we, from our viewpoint as a group, just supply the council with that further information and to them to make a final decision whether they want to have the topic in this PDP or if they already have enough knowledge to see that it's not feasible.
Yeah, and one idea that I threw out on the list, and by the way, there is really only one list, Mike. The PDP hasn't actually started actual work on those yet, and so I don't think a list has been created. Has it, Glenn? Are you still on?
I'm still on, Chuck, yes.
Is there a separate list for the PDP?
There is a separate list, yes.
Oh, okay, there is. That's right. I guess I have seen it, but...
And that is to the statements went to that list.
Because we haven't even decided yet whether to do a working group on that, right?
Yes. Well, there's a council as a whole is working on it.
I understand that. We're kind of doing that on almost everything now. But
that's right, yes. But for the rest, no, there's
not.
Yeah.
To decide whether to do a working group, the idea isn't to have the council do all the work. So.
Quite right, Chuck, yes.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, I think the one that I'm on is the GNSO Trans WG or work group list, and I think the other one is GNSO Trans PDP.
That's right.
And I have a feeling that some of the conversation has taken place on PDP, and because Rodenbaugh forwarded a note or two to me that sort of led to my bewilderment. But anyway, I think that this approach that we're evolving towards is fine. And at some point, I'd love to chime in and lobby a bit on some of the, I noted, Chuck, that my pet one, the one that I was so favorite of, you viewed as quite infeasible. And
let's talk about it.
Maybe
I'm wrong. I'm trying to raise questions because I have very difficult time envisioning how that could ever be implemented in any sort of effective way. But we can talk about that when we get there.
Yeah.
A little suggestion from my side, Olafur, that, all right, we've got, well, the document to follow, I think it's, Tom's document with Chuck's comments in red. And perhaps a way to approach is this, now we have three groups, and that... or three potential PDPs, and maybe the way to go ahead is to say that, okay, well, this does it, the following issue does it, the following four reasons of unachievability should be just deleted and rather pruned from the grouping that Tom has provided. Is that a way forward?
Right for me.
That would be my idea.
My edginess is that before we do the pruning, I'd like to debate the unfeasibility part. So
that's how we would do the pruning, isn't it?
Yeah. What I heard Olaf say is that we were going to go ahead and prune those now.
Well, the purpose would be that. I mean, rather, because I believe they become pretty bulky as PDPs. With all these issues included.
Right, and so before we, if we're pruning now, I'd lobby for a little debate on the infeasibility before we do the pruning.
That is what we plan to do.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's
absolutely it.
That is what we should do for the next half an hour.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, then why don't we go through them, just following Tom's order and my notes, and anybody else wants to jump in. And that takes us to number one, 1J. I'm not sure what the J means because I wasn't involved in the previous thing. But anyway,
Well, that's a previous sort of some kind of alphabetic order from the original document.
Oh, okay.
So,
okay.
Well,
so in the original document, it was J, and it's priority number one now. Okay, that makes sense. So now, that one to me certainly would be helpful from a, and I'm going to often be speaking from a registry point of view where we're the dispute resolution provider, but that certainly would be helpful. The big question for me, or I ask, you know, there's a question and a sub-question. Do all registrars have email addresses for registrant? Are there still some legacy ones, forget about proxy services right now, that don't have email addresses? Or are we pretty much past that, Tom?
Well, I can only speak for my company. We do have it, but I know from a lot of other registrars that they don't, especially the one with reseller connections, you know, they only get the data they really need, especially in .com issue case. With the other TTLDs, it wouldn't be a problem for most of them. But it's very hard. And that one, I would actually think that we should have an own PDP, and we really should kind of work out what the benefits really are or not.
So you think
really.
That this particular one may warrant a PDP of its own?
Oh, yeah, that's very controversial. I mean, I just have to think of some of my colleagues that would be totally opposed to such a thing. And it's hard to prove to them that they do have the registrant's email addresses. So in terms of enforcing it, we will have a hard time. We could say every domain name which is registered after a certain date has to have that. But there's only two ways how we can achieve this. First thing would be we could change the RIA. The second thing, which I don't think is very likely to happen, actually, to change the WHOIS requirement in there. The other thing would be to change the WHOIS policy, which would be not in the interest of a lot of the privacy advocates, I guess. So I think that's a very hard and very contentious issue.
And how do you deal with the privacy services, the proxy providers, and so forth? Sometimes the proxy provider is actually the registrant, and maybe not the underlying user. So how do you actually implement this particular thing in those cases?
Well, for proxy registrations, as far as I understand, the policy that I can set is that who's there at the registrant is actually the owner. So the underlying contact data is a subcontract between the registrar or the proxy service and the underlying data holder. So there would be a way to actually implement that they have an email address there. It just wouldn't be of any use since most of the proxy providers are operating on a lock system. As long as the domain name is in this proxy status, they're not acknowledging any kind of transfers anywhere. So if you want to transfer out of most of them, you have to put in your real data and unlock the domain name. And then we don't have that problem anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So the proxy registration is not really a problem. It's more the privacy discussion we had around who is over the last 3-4 years that hasn't been resolved. Because what we want to do now is put even more unguarded information into the WHOIS, which I'm very sure certain people won't be too pleased about.
Is that what this recommendation is saying? Because I didn't necessarily read that into it. I know that I thought this was just saying providing some way for registrars to get the email address of the registrant, not necessarily publish it in WHOIS. Obviously, if you publish it in WHOIS, it makes I can see the advantages of that from a transfer point of view, but it's not, but then you get into all the privacy issues.
Yeah. Well, the problem is that if we would not do it in the WHOIS, we would need a totally different system away from it, which might be a good idea anyway from a technical point of view, but that is another contentious issue, and that really causing costs, and the benefit of it is kind of unclear. So I think in terms of feasibility, number one, it's very hard and it should be tackled, if we tackle it, as an old PDP. It has too many relations to different subjects. So it's not something that will make the transfer process itself better or worse in a short period of time.
So help me understand how this got to be priority number one.
Well, the process of setting the priority was that the people in the working group each assigned their own ranking. And in almost all cases, there were the average masked a lot of disagreement. So there were a lot of folks like me who put this fairly low. And there were a lot of other folks who put it pretty high. And my underlying assessment is that there were, I'll do another three clump view. There were sort of registrar accountability kinds of things. There were quality improvement kinds of things. And there were technical kinds of things. And a lot of technical issues tended to hold the day in the ranking process just because of the way the votes worked out. And so one approach to this one might be sort of piggybacking on Tom's comments, that a lot of the recommendations sort of imply changes to the back office processes in the registrars and the registries, and that might be a clumping. Because this is not the only one in this list that implies that people have to hold on to either new data or process data in a different way. But if we went back to the voting, I'm sure that what we would see on this and any of these is there was a lot of dispersion in that group, and we never really had a conversation to try and reduce that dispersion. Basically, Ross just added the numbers up, and this happened to be the one with the highest score.
Well, it sounds to me like, for now, we can finalize all of our decisions once we see the total picture, but that it might make sense to put this one in a category by itself for now because of its complexity and possible feasibility, okay? Not leave it in a group where it would, because like Tom said, if anything is ultimately done on this, it might have to be a PDP by itself. Now, we could change that view later on when we go through all of them, but is that a good step right now, just put this in a category by itself?
That works fine for me.
And Olaf, are you kind of keeping track of what we come up with on these?
Kind of.
Good, thanks.
No, I agree as well. So.
All right. Well, should we go to five then? Now, I thought five and six have some similarities there. And is it true that the real big issue here is whether or not names are unlocked in a timely manner?
No. It's in the first part, it is. There is no really a description about at what point of time a domain name can be unlocked and what the exact requirements are, how that lock looks like. So, for example, everybody could claim, well, it's on some kind of a transfer lock, but doesn't use the official registry locks there are. And there's a lack of definition. That's just defining. Number six would be the time limiting of the FOAs is that once you got an FOA signed by a person, registrars tend to hold this forever. So once you run against lock, they never check the whois data again. So at the end, they're trying to transfer domain names away, which already changed the owner. And for that, the transfer is not the FOA they have is not valid anymore.
Right. Now, that part I understand. So
they're independent from each other.
Okay.
But do they belong in a clump together? Along with, there are some other ones, like if we skip down to number 15 or number I.
Oh, they're both very technical and related to pretty much the same process.
Yeah.
I would think they are.
Yeah, and maybe we could make a clump out of that and some of these other ones.
Well, tell me, Tom, how time-limiting FOAs would solve number six.
Well, you would have, if you would say FOA is only valid for 15 days, you would have to automatically check at 15 days whether you have to have a new one or not. Right? So right now, nobody is making any checks. Once you got the FOA, it's the understanding of motor registrars that, okay, they got the allowance of the owner or the admin C to transfer the domain name. And that is not rechecked at any time. And that policy would actually force registrars to recheck.
Would it be unrealistic, assuming that the time limit was brief enough, to not allow other changes once a transfer is initiated? Transfer request is initiated?
There are a lot of number six is more or less elaborating the problem. Whether time limiting itself is a solution to it or not, it's a different matter. I would even pose it totally different. I would rather say as long as the contact to agree to it is still a contact, you might be, and it's not older than 2 months or something, you should be allowed to use it.
So do you see 5 and 6 as achievable?
Sure.
Those aren't too hard. So those might be good to, I mean, and it doesn't hurt to lump them together. They seem to, even though, like you pointed out, they are distinctly different. Those certainly would be good to leave in the group, right?
Yeah, they're core parts of the transfer policy.
Anybody disagree with that?
I'm fine with that.
Okay. And then 7.
So 5 and 6 is a little mini group, so to start with.
Well, I mean, if we just assume for right now Tom's group's in place,
okay.
We would leave them as part of group 1. We can always come back and revisit that, I think, but we'll, for right now, just leave them in Tom's first group, right?
Okay.
And then 7. This one's related, I think, to item 2, where it's a little bit different, but the both needing something. 2, I think, has to do with the emergency, you know, if there's a high-profile name that needs to be put back really fast or something like that. But both of it, you know, a transfer has to be undone. Is there a reason why 2 and 7 shouldn't be put in the same place, since they're both kind of dealing with undoing?
No, I agree. I think it would be rather a technical enhancement or a policy enhancement. It has not really anything to do with the dispute process or something.
So 2 and 7 could go in the same group, and do we care which group it's in for right now? We can refine it later, but...
Yes.
So maybe put 2 and 7 both in this group for now?
Yeah, we could just strike number 7. That would be my suggestion.
So 2 is the one that's further down your list, right?
Yeah, that would strike 7, actually. No, 2, not 7.
You'd strike 2?
Yeah.
It's a bit conflictual, because then we start striking out what was highly prioritized. And then we should probably say that, well, this is not feasible, or if it's redundant in comparison to 7 or something like that.
I think it is. 2 is redundant to 7 in the meaning, in the essential meaning. So we can combine them, or we can mark it as redundant, however, you know. But
why don't we combine 2 and 7?
Combine them.
Okay, yeah, okay, combine them.
Right. So peace in our time. Huh?
That way nobody will criticize the priority of number 2 in that sense. But for right now, leave it in this group. Is that okay?
Yeah. For me, I think it's technical, and it refers to the 60-day lock you have.
I'd like to push back a little bit on that one, if I might barge in.
Sure.
I think that there's sort of a broad theme of of unwinding a transfer that's not technical, but rather is sort of driven by a dispute. And it seems to me that two, especially, but also seven, I don't believe those to be so technical as Tom, you're thinking of them. I'm thinking of them more as, again, as a domain registrant and saying, yikes, the domain got transferred, help, what do I do? And not so much the technical side of it, but just the intervention of unwinding that transfer, or at least somehow flagging it that there's an issue that's got to be resolved.
I don't think I'm following your point, Mike. What's your concern about the technical issue?
Well, what I heard Tom saying was that this was pretty much a technical discussion. So, Tom, am I misunderstanding?
Well, it's both. I totally agree with you. But if we want to have the discussion you're pointing out, actually, you know, we really have to tackle it somewhere else. So it would be rather how the dispute process is working.
Yeah.
Right? So we could maybe group it to two things, right? But there are two issues. One is the 60-day hold period some registrars implement, where they just say, well, that's in the contract. We have to keep the domain name for 60 days. We're not transferring it back because who knows whether that might be fraudulent. And then there's the problem that if you find out that your domain has been hijacked, you know, what to do then.
Right. Right.
Right. So in the wording, how two is kind of framed, it's hard to tell which of the two they actually mean.
I think one of the troubles with this newly reordered list, I was just back at the document that Olaf sent this morning, and unfortunately I'm going to have to translate really fast, but one of the things about that sort of framing document is that there were three clumps. There was a dispute resolution clump. There was a form of authorization clump that had a couple. There were who is issues, and then a gaggle of others. And I think that the sub-bullets become clearer when they're reinserted into that context, because there was a little paragraph for each of the clumps in the original document that sort of framed what we were talking about. And by... It got very confusing in the working group because we broke them apart like that. And I think we're running into the same confusion here. Unfortunately, I don't have a map to take.
Well, whether it's technical or process or both, are we in agreement that these two, that seven and two, should be pursued further?
Yes.
Okay. I mean, we can, in terms of the technical details, the process deals and stuff, that's going to be part of a PDP if a PDP is approved.
Right.
And they seem, I'm hearing, at least from Tom, who is going to know more about it than I am because he's a registrar, these are feasible things to work.
Yeah, well, the 60 days is feasible. This undoing a transfer and kind of defining what is fraudulent, what is not fraudulent, this whole high-ticking stuff, you know. Actually, I'm not sure about the feasibility of any kind of determining that. I don't even know the registries will ever be able to make any determination on that.
Well, they won't without registrar involvement, because it is.
Yeah,
that.
But even that, you know, a lot of the cases where you really have a fraudulent transfer of a high valued name, the registrars both have the documents they need, right? Because one of them is fake, but it's always hard to tell, you know.
Yeah.
And then should the domain name be transferred back or not? You know, it might be the case that the correct owner has it and there are disputes from someone who's just claiming that he had the name, whatever, you know. That are clearly cases for the regular courts. in some way, you know. So, and it's up to the registrar actually to hold himself harmless and stuff like that. So they should have processes in place.
Sounds like the sex.com case.
Yeah, it is, right. It's pretty, if it comes down to that, you know, it's very, very complicated, you know, because the documentation and the whole process itself has so many loopholes.
But it probably should, the time probably should be spent on that. They may find it difficult, but the time probably should be spent on that, huh? I see.
Oh, yeah. But that's one of the things. This high-tech report, you know, and all the whereabouts and how it, you know, how it happens and so on, you know, you really need some kind of analysis for it. You have to dive deep into it. And I would rather see that as a separate subject, which is hard to achieve. We should talk about it, but not keep it in that general PDP because it will just overboard it.
So you think this ought to be restricted in some way?
I would just restrict in the place where we have 7 right now, I would just leave it to the technical things, period, to the 60 days. The thing about the high-checking report, I would put into a separate PDP. And we can suggest that we need to have this separate PDP about that issue, no doubt. But for that, we really need a separate issue report. We need to have some statistics. We need to have some experts telling us about how that happens, whatever. That's a very long process.
So this is another one that we might isolate like we did number one, or that part of it would be isolated?
That would be what I'm thinking. Yeah, we should clarify what we mean by both of them, and it should be isolated, and we should see whether we should make an own PDP out of it or not. It's a very important issue. I absolutely agree. And we have no way of dealing with it right now.
Okay.
I'd be fine with that. I think that, you know, to the extent that we can deal with technical issues with great dispatch, that's a good thing. To the extent that we can hold on to these broader, much harder issues and make a commitment to work on them and figure them out, that's also a good thing. Mm-hmm. So one way would be to essentially acknowledge that there are two clumps that these belong to, one being a technical one, and refine the issues in there, and one being a broader sort of dispute resolution, unwinding one that's going to be much harder, and refine the issues for that and launch two different PDPs to address them.
Now, I need to warn you guys that I've got another meeting that I've got to get ready for in 5 minutes. So that doesn't mean you guys can't continue.
That's the same with me.
Yeah, okay. So then let's look at can we at least look at 15 and 18? Now, 15 to me, correct me if I'm wrong, Tom, but this seems to go totally against what we tried to do in the original transfer policy.
It is. It is just a remake of all the discussions we had before, whether it's auto-ACK or auto-NACK.
And
that is trying to turn it into the auto-NACK discussion again. So
gaming situation again.
Yeah. Yeah.
I would say we eliminate 15.
I would single it out and eliminate it, yes.
Huh? Because that's not an enhancement to the policy. That's a total reversal.
We already discussed that, and the group that came up with the original transfer process agreed not to use it. So we should stick with that and not have the discussion again.
And it does have a very low priority.
And again, I have to chime in for the deficiencies in the priority setting process. Certainly a lot of us ranked this quite low for exactly the same reason.
So is anybody opposed to dropping this one?
No, not me.
Me neither.
Old to the lowest bidder.
It's old to the lowest bidder. Right on.
Okay. And then very quickly on 18, I checked, and we're already doing that. Are there registries, Tom, who are not doing this?
Yeah, I guess all except you.
I'm saying we're doing it. When we switch to EPP,
No. There are certain things called riots, and some registries are using them, and some are not.
So, but this isn't... Okay, so this probably is relatively low-hanging fruit. There just needs to be some consistency.
Yeah, everybody already agreed on that. It's just that it never happened in execution, as far as I know.
Okay.
So that should be real low-hanging fruit and not very controversial.
Okay, so we've got at least, and we can decide later whether we want to call the titles of these groups differently, but we've kind of narrowed down group one, at least for now. It seems to me we're going to need another call, or maybe more than one.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and Olaf, I hold great hope for your summary of the conversation, because I haven't been taking notes, but I think that summary would be really useful before.
Olaf is very good at that, let me
wonderful.
Assure you.
Very concise, I promise you.
And so, Olaf, if you can distribute the information from today's call, that'll help Tim and anybody else who wants to is supposed to be participating in this, and then what's timing for another call? Some of us are starting to travel next week to India. Are we going to be able to make a little more progress on this before India?
Well, why don't we, because I have to drop off now, why don't we debate that on the list? I'm available this week and next week, so...
I'm available limited next week. I'm probably available this on Wednesday of next week. I'm traveling to India on Thursday, and then from then on, Monday, I'm probably available Monday and Wednesday, just to let you know.
Okay.
What about Wednesday next week, same time?
Sounds good for me.
Approach.
I think that works. Why don't you put that on the list, and then we can all confirm.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sounds great.
Thanks, everybody.
Okay.
Bye.
I'll get Snopes out by Friday. I don't think I can make it today, and I won't be available tomorrow for doing it. But by Friday, early my time.
Terrific.
Okay.
Thanks.
Well, that's it. I suppose.
Thanks. Okay,
everybody.
Next call.